Okay, Genesis chapter 26. We're going to talk about life in the valley. Isaac moves into the valley and going to make some applications to all that. Genesis chapter 26, verse 17. The Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" I like that, "for now." It's going to be all right. "And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not. For I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake.' And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Let's pray, and I'm going to talk about life in the valley, and just make some applications to life in the valley from this. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for taking care of us the way you do. And I do pray that you would feed your flock this evening, that you would help us get something out of these verses, help us learn what we can and make the applications that need to be made. And thank you again for this opportunity to be together and do it freely. And don't have to hide, don't have to, I don't know, like some other folks around the world have to do, hide and coordinate and all that kind of stuff. Lord, we could do this freely for right now, and I thank you for that. And thank you for the way you've just taken care of so many things. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Isaac is a good type of a Christian here. I mean, you get the history of it. You see what's happened. Isaac's been told, "Don't move." The Lord says, "Don't move." So he didn't move. He stays in Gerar instead of going down to Egypt. And that's what he's supposed to do. And there's some trouble. It doesn't mean there's not trouble. It just means it's where he's supposed to stay. And there's some things that he's got to deal with here. But he does what he's told. He stays in Gerar and moves from the land, really, of Gerar, I guess some of the mountainous regions, and he moves into a valley because, remember, I guess it was last week, Isaac becomes so fruitful in a year's time, 100-fold of his herds and crops and things like that. He becomes so fruitful that he becomes bigger than the nation he's living in. And so the king there, the leadership, Abimelech there, asks him or tells him, you know, "You're going to have to move because there's no room here." And so he moves into the valley and turns out to be what he's supposed to do. But that's not to say, there's not trouble in the valley. And so this whole valley life, I'm going to make a few applications. And I would say that it seems like in some of our mentality about life, it seems like we have this expectation that life is supposed to be sort of on the mountaintop, or at least not in the valley ever. And if I ever feel like that, then, you know, I need to, and I'm not saying medicine's bad, I'm just saying we're so quick to turn to that stuff when we feel a little bit bad about something, or feel in a prolonged time you just feel bad. And there's this expectation that you shouldn't feel bad, you just should not live in the valley, and or be in the valley, put it that way, you just shouldn't be in the valley. And that's not true. some of our expectations just aren't real. So as you can see, we're going to take this life of Isaac in the valley and sort of make application to an individual and talk about life in the valley. The first thing I notice about valley life, Isaac in verse 17, he doesn't build anything sustainable in the valley. The Bible says he pitched his tent. So if he pitched his tent, that means he doesn't plan on staying there a whole long time. And that was one of the big contrasts between Isaac and Ishmael, when we saw it a few weeks ago or a while back, where Ishmael's children, they build these palaces and things like that, and Isaac, he just dwells in tents. He's just looking for, looking for a city. And so he pitches his tent, and so the valley is a temporary dwelling place. He isn't building a permanent structure, and he doesn't plan on having to stay there for a prolonged period of time. He's passing through. And valleys for God's people, for saved people, are temporary things. And I like the way DeWitt Talmadge said it in a sermon. He had the sermon called "The Ministry of Tears," and he describes what tears do for people, because they're legitimate, they're valuable in some ways. And one of the things he says is it keeps the world from becoming too comfortable for you. You're just constantly reminded that this is not a permanent place. This grief, it doesn't have to be. It's not going to be permanent. So valley's a temporary dwelling place. And like I said, obviously we're making some individual application and just sort of devotional stuff here, but second thing I noticed, not only is the valley a temporary dwelling place, God's provision in the valley isn't new. When Isaac goes down to that valley, he finds some wells, and the wells are wells he didn't dig. They're wells that were dug by somebody else who was in the valley, namely his dad. His dad had dug those wells, and so he goes to those wells, and he starts getting the same help and nourishment from the wells that were prepared by his dad. And I know grief can be a private, individual, lonely thing, but I think you find that God's provision in that time is not a brand new act of grace. It's something that's been around. It's something that's been there. And it's not just a unique to you type of a ministry or a grace or a help when the Lord dispenses that. It's something that's been there. So you find God's provision in that time isn't brand new. It's been used before. And that really reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. It's God's provision that's in the valley. He says it in verse 18. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So he finds help from areas that someone else had found help from. And there's a really good complimentary verse to that in 2 Corinthians. I think you guys know the verse, but just look at it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to see what I'm talking about. That some of these, the ministry is passing on help that you've received to someone else who needs the same type of help or comfort or mercy or grace or instruction or whatever the case may be. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So you see how that, it's it's almost like a generational thing. It goes from comfort from God to you, and then from you to someone else, and you comfort the same way you were comforted, and what you find is that provision in the valley is not brand new. It's been there before. Although I understand grief can feel very lonely and unique and personal, and it is, and private, and those things, but the help is oftentimes very similar from person to person. So God's provision in the valley isn't new. Third thing I notice in this whole chapter about life in the valley is that what's valuable is always buried. What's valuable is always buried. It's not at the surface. You look in verse 19, go back to Genesis 26, and you look at verse 19, and it says, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. So in order to get the value out of what's available, it's going to take a little digging. And this is one of those things that I just think if there's anything that has, I don't know, that's become characteristic or troublesome by, and I understand the technology is everywhere, and I get all that, but if there's something people are losing tremendously, there's such a loss of this, it's the ability to focus and stay on something until you get something valuable out of it. And you're just not willing to spend the time. It's not flashy. It's not happening right now. It's you know, microwave. It's just, if it's not happening now, I'm not interested. And Hebrews, he says, the problem is you lack patience. You need patience. That's what I'm trying to teach you, is patience, because patience is what leads to the valuable thing that you're gonna need at some point, and you lose that. It's the rewiring of our minds and our personalities and our character, and so you're just not gonna stick to it long enough to get anything out of it. And I mean, we used to. In Corpus, we would teach young adult class over at Brother Welder's church. That was one of the Sunday schools that we did. And we go through family stuff, and inevitably you'd deal with something, and you'd give someone an answer, you know, a Bible answer to a problem or a question. And they'd say, well, we tried that. Like, well, how long did you try that? Well, we did that last week. Okay, that's not trying it. You haven't given it enough time to work. You haven't given it enough time to figure out if it's right or wrong. I mean, it's in the Bible, so it's going to be right. But well, we tried that, meaning we did it one time and the kids weren't fixed when we did it one time. Or we tried it one time and that didn't resolve the marriage issue. It's like, no, you haven't tried it. What you did was you dipped your foot in the water and you just walked away. You haven't tried this yet. And so there's this lack of attention, lack of focus. And the problem becomes, if you don't give this time, what's valuable is always buried, and if you don't give it time, it's not going to get fixed. And if you keep counting or discounting what the answer is because it didn't work in 2 weeks, or it didn't work in a week, or we tried it for 3 days and that didn't solve the problem, that's not that's not right. That's not how this works. Like you said, like Paul said, you know, you lack patience. You need patience. And so you find out, and it's like anything in life, what's valuable is buried. You find there are companies that spend millions of dollars on machinery to uncover gold and silver that is buried deep in the earth, because what's in the earth is more valuable than the machinery, but it's going to take loads and loads of money and machinery and time to dig out what's there. And I mean, you get the concept. You understand the point there. The true treasure is found buried. God's grace is found in the valley. It reminds me of, it reminds me of, if God's grace is found in the valley, it reminds me of Paul when he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong. The strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul, he sought out an answer. He got an answer, and his answer was no. You're not going to get this thorn taken away. And he figured out, okay, how, I guess he couldn't say he figured out, but the Lord taught him through that, my grace is sufficient. And when you're weak, then you're strong. That's when you're strong. What's valuable is buried. Life in the valley, there's value in it, but it's just buried. The next thing, the next thing you find are the valley dwellers in the valley. And everybody knows some valley dwellers. And if you don't know any valley dwellers, you're the valley dweller. These folks that live in the valley in verse 20 and 21, the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen. So Isaac finds water. He re-digs up some wells. He gets water, and these herdmen come and claim it for themselves. And these are the people that live in the valley. They're perpetual valley dwellers, and all they do is steal resources. That's all they do. They are, I guess you could liken it to this, they're perpetual, and I know I'm really making this sort of an illustrative sort of chapter to liken it to something else, but these valley dwellers, they're like perpetual victims and claiming every part of the valley for themselves. And notice they don't seem to know how to get their own needs met, but they're perfectly willing to steal the resources from other people. I don't know what these guys were doing the whole time before Isaac got there, but Isaac finds water and redigs these wells. I don't know why these guys weren't digging wells. I don't know what the deal is, but Isaac finds water, and these guys all of a sudden show up and want to say it's their water. They're the valley dwellers. It's everything. I know you know some, and like I said, if you don't know some, then you are probably that valley dweller. you are the one, or you know someone who is the one who it's the perpetual victim. It's the I hurt myself, and their story is, well, that's nothing. You know, you should hear my story, how I hurt myself. And every day is a new pain, and every day is, you gotta pray for me. I got a new pain. I got this happening, and this is going on, and this is bad, and this is troublesome, and this is going on, and this thing. And it's just like everything's, you never get out of the valley. And you find these folks in the valley, and what they do is they can't seem to nourish themselves, but when you find help, they're immediately there to steal the resources. And they just gobble up resources and people's time and energy. And so there you find the valley dwellers, and Isaac found the valley dwellers. Once he started finding resources, boy, these folks showed up. They showed up. And they don't dig wells, but they sure will take your well. So Isaac finds some valley dwellers. These herdmen of Gerar, they live in the valley. They're perpetually in the valley. They're never coming out of the valley. Life's never going to get better. It's just always, woe is me, Eeyore, that, you know. I like Eeyore, but I but you get it. You get it. Just woe is me, you know. And a lot of this stuff, honestly, when someone's just taking time and energy from people, it can sound real spiritual, you know. It's just pray for me, 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 pray for me. And it's like, man, I don't know. If I stubbed my toe, I probably wouldn't text everybody to pray for it. It's okay. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. You'll probably get over it. It's going to be okay. But you find the valley dwellers. Then, of course, you find these valley dwellers, and Isaac just moves right along. I mean, he digs a couple wells. They come and take them or claim them for themselves. He doesn't really contend with them. He's not going to put up an argument or a fight because he knows he's just wandering through the land. I mean, he's just wandering. He's just setting up his tent, moving his herds and things like that. So he's not gonna start anything over it or fight over it. What he does is he just keeps digging wells. And he keeps digging wells. And I heard, I think it was Lester Roloff preach a sermon. And you know that verse that says, "Be not weary in well-doing"? His sermon is called, "Be not weary in well-digging." And Isaac just keeps digging wells. And the alternative is, well, I mean, what is the alternative if you don't keep digging wells? You just die. What's the alternative? You have to have water. So it's either die or just keep digging wells. And so he just keeps digging wells. And finally, after, I guess, the third well, the people are satisfied. The valley dwellers aren't gonna mess with them. They got all that they want. And so now he's got water. Be not weary in well-digging. What's the point? Be not weary in well-digging. And first of all, the alternative is you just die if you get weary of it. Don't find water. If you don't find water, the only other thing to do is die. But Isaac understands. I know he's a sojourner in the land, and every life-giving fountain he comes up with, it seems to come with a fight. But He keeps digging, and eventually gets to water, and eventually gets a well that nobody's going to fight with him about, and he's happy. He's happy that the Lord's provided. He hasn't grown weary of it, and I think about that with us as Christians. Like, if you get weary of it, I know we do. We just get weary of, I don't know, life, and you get weary of you know, trying to figure out how to serve the Lord in circumstances that you find yourself in, and particularly, like, you know, the last year, of course, last couple of years. But the real question is, what's the alternative? I mean, what are you going to do? And I understand that sounds like just sheer duty, like, I don't know what else to do. But really, I mean, if the source of hope and peace and joy and comfort and all that stuff is the Lord, if you decide, you know, I don't want anything to do with the Lord, you are voluntarily removing yourself from that source of life. And Isaac understands, look, I can't just stop digging wells. We need water. So he keeps digging and eventually finds water that nobody's going to contend with. And verse 22, it says, "And he removed from thence, digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, for we shall be fruitful in the land." I like that. I mentioned it before, but I like that "for now." Like, he understands this is going to be a problem in the future, but for now it's not a problem, and I'll take what I can get for now. For now it's good. Verse 23, "He went up from thence to Beersheba." So he's sort of done with the valley life. He's established what he needs to establish there. Maybe he leaves some flocks there. Maybe he leaves some herds down there in the valley. But he moves himself and at least part of his family or all of his family a little bit away from that area. In verse 24, "The Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. So this little episode here ends with Isaac finding water, calling upon the name of the Lord. And this is, I don't know how many times this has happened in Genesis up to this point, but you'll find that that's kind of one of the themes throughout the Bible, is calling upon the name of the Lord. It happens in early on in Genesis. It happens with Abraham. It happens with, I think, Seth, or right before Seth, or right after Seth. But you'll see it over and over, these men calling upon the name of the Lord. And Isaac leaves in the valley. You know what? He left in the valley a trail of blessings for the heathen after his hard work. You know what's interesting about all this? So Isaac, one of the interesting things I find in here is the Lord had said over to Abraham and to Isaac, you know, you're going to be a blessing to all nations. And it seems like wherever these men go, sometimes they kind of foul things up. But if the heathen are willing to accept these men, the heathen nations are blessed out of them. And so what Isaac ends up leaving is a trail of water wells for people, for herdmen, for these folks in Gerar. And so he leaves a valley and a trail of blessings in the valley for the heathen after all his hard work. And then he builds an altar to the Lord, remembering God's blessing in his life, and looking forward to the future there. So just a few thoughts about life in the valley. And I know I really took this and made it into a devotional type thing, but truly there's several things that you learn in life in the valley. Valley's a temporary dwelling place. It's temporary. It's meant to be temporary. You can learn things there, but not supposed to stay there forever. There's ups and downs in life, and that's just the way it is. God's provision is in the valley, and God's provision isn't new in the valley. Third thing is, what's valuable is always buried. It takes some work. It takes some focus. It takes some devotion. It takes some dedication to get something valuable out of what you need there. Then you always find valley dwellers. You find valley dwellers, and just deal with the valley dwellers. And then there's a temptation to get weary of digging wells, but then the question becomes, what's the alternative? What are you going to do if you don't dig wells? Then what happens? And so, be not weary of well digging, like Lester Roloff said, be not weary of well digging. And then lastly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Isaac calls on the name of the Lord, builds a little altar to remember what's happened here and how the Lord's provided and taken care of him. And so there's just these moments in time, I guess, life-defining monuments, I guess you could say. And Isaac can point back to this and remember how God provided, took care of him, and helped him through a little valley here, and guided and directed his life. So that's life in the valley. It's a little devotional thing, a little few thoughts on all that. So I hope that's helpful. And let's pray. I'll pray for the food. And remember, the ballots are up here. They're right down here, those little pieces of paper. And just come up here if you're interested. Fill one out. It's just a circle. Yes or no for each of the missionaries. And yeah, you get 18. Yeah, all that. Be 18. And put it in the offering plate. So it's the Doolittles and the Cadenheads. Those two. The last two that came in. Yeah. So, yeah. Both. No, you don't have to pick one. No. It's you can say yes on both of them. Yeah. You can say yes on both of them. Yeah. So leave those up there. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for your provision. I pray it's been helpful going through these verses and thinking about what we were thinking about. I pray that you continue to guide and direct us. And again, thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And thank you for this opportunity to gather together freely. Pray you guide and direct us through the week and help us be good, faithful testimonies for you. And I know some that are kind of teetering on some questions about salvation. I pray be able to answer those questions maybe this week with some of the folks that have questions. And thank you again for your words and salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And for the food. Amen.